Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook VIP podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. First time for Jesse Colhagen in the studio, lovely Jesse Colhagen, the Lifebook veteran, the Lifebook warrior. Thank you for coming in, Jesse.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me, Joe.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone's really excited to hear from you. And it's very appropriate because it is Spiritual Month. And you are one of the most dedicated individuals I know when it comes to your spirituality.
Aw, thank you.
The most dedicated individual I know.
That's
actually
awesome.
So I'm really happy to have you in the studio. And we're just going to dive right into the questions. Is that cool?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Well, having grown up with you my entire life, my older sister, I've really come to find that you've exploded spiritually in the last few years, maybe 5 years, maybe even 10 years. So where were you spiritually 10 years ago in your mind? And how do you best describe the changes that have taken place since then?
Okay, so this could be a long story, but I'll try to keep it brief.
Please.
10 years ago, I was super focused on my career. So I was working super hard at the expense of a lot of other areas of my life, actually. Mm-hmm. I had just gone through Lifebook for the first time, probably that year, 10 years ago exactly, was my first session. And so I was really focused on building a 12-category smart life. And a huge part of that for me was my career.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the process of building these 12 categories, everything felt very isolated and segmented. So I would be focusing on health and fitness by doing my workout every day, or I'd be focusing on my career by investing all of this time and energy. And I had a little baby girl and a husband. And it was a time for sure of growth and expansion, but it was also a time of suffering for me because I was so overwhelmed with work and really not very aware or developed yet in my own just self-awareness. And so a lot was suffering as a result of that. And the turning point for me was probably, actually, I know exactly when it was. It was 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago now. And I went with my best friend, Megan, one of my best friends, Megan, who is a huge spiritual influence in my life, for sure. I mean, she's taught me so much, and she was a huge part of just the beginning of my spiritual path. And we took a road trip to New Mexico, and it was just so incredibly life-changing in that it was the first time since I had really started my real grown-up career that I took time out and, you know, took a week just to myself, not my family, not my job, and just immersed myself in this insanely beautiful spiritual land. I mean, New Mexico is the land of enchantment. So it's like, it's just embedded with just all of this amazing energy in the desert and all that. And so just being there was really powerful and incredible, but also having the influence of Megan, who had such a radically different daily practice and dedication than I did at that time. Like the way that she woke up, the way that she went to sleep, the things that she did throughout the day, and the way that she approached her life and her energy on a day-to-day basis were so radically different than anything I had ever really seen before. And so that was really inspiring for me to, you know, wake up and go straight into stretching and breathing and mindfulness and just to live my life that way with her for a week. So that was hugely impactful. And then when I came home, I decided that I was going to start my own spiritual practice, and I did yoga for the first time ever. I did an at-home video that I just happened to have laying around. And my very first practice, my very first sun salutation, I had a total awakening to my own energy body and experience what it was to plug into that and to just bring total awareness to that and to create this glow within myself. So yoga was definitely a turning point for me and has been one of the main practices that I go to for sure.
Yeah, you haven't slowed down.
No, I haven't. It's been a gradual growing process since then. So that's kind of the history of how it all began for me personally. For
sure. Right. Well, you mentioned Megan, who I know and love. Great individual. Who else were your idols when it came to spirituality? Is there anyone you really look up to?
I mean, there's so many people. Megan's a big one for sure, just as a person that I have, you know, as a constant in my life. And she's just always been there in so many ways in that realm and many others. I have a lot of people that I look up to, especially authors. I devour books, especially on, you know, personal growth and spirituality. So I would say Gabrielle Roth was a huge one for me. She's an author. She's the creator of the Five Rhythms Method of Conscious Dance. And when I was going through a period of my life that was very transitional and uprooting and growth-oriented, amazing, but also super challenging, and a lot of the kind of constructs were being torn down, I picked up that book just very serendipitously, and it changed my life. So Ecstatic Dance and all of her teachings, they're very shamanic and amazing. Gabrielle Roth is a huge one. Carolyn Miss, she's incredible for spirit. She actually has a book titled The Anatomy of the Spirit, and she talks a lot about the breakdown of the energy body and just how you can approach it, understand it, and kind of connect it to the other areas of your life and the other physical, you know, effects that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Another big one would be Dr. Dan Engel, who I just lovingly refer to as Dr. Dan.
Absolutely.
I worked with him during that same phase of just major, major personal growth and spiritual growth that was very challenging for me to go through. And I worked with him, and he was an incredible resource and continues to be somebody that I just look up to with so much admiration and appreciation and love. He is a truly special, magical human being and just has so much wisdom to offer. So Dr. Dan, for sure.
Let's try to get him on for Spiritual Month. I don't know if we can make that happen, but I'm going to, I actually have a podcast with him on the 17th. So I'll try to get him to do a phone interview for Spiritual. That'd be great.
That would be incredible. Mm-hmm. He has just so much wisdom to offer. And so I feel like so much of me finding my soul path in this life is owed to him helping to plant the seeds early on when I was in such just a fertile and growing phase.
Totally.
And then the last one would have to, for sure, be my husband, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is just, has always been such an inspiration to me in spirituality. He is one of the most pure, kind, loving, open-hearted, just unbelievably wise, understanding, beautiful, beautiful human beings. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for him every day and what he teaches me and brings to my life and the lives of everybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
So he is just a continual inspiration in my life and always knows the right thing to say, always knows the right place on my body to rub. Like, he's just there and just so plugged in and so aware. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he's probably the biggest one of all.
That's really sweet. He is pure. He's a very pure individual.
Yeah.
That is special. That is a quality that I feel like you can't always work towards. Some people are just that way.
It's very, very difficult, and the people that have it innately are very special.
Totally. You're absolutely right. Well, you mentioned a couple resources there. Any other books, any other teachings that you specifically would like to share with the listeners?
Oh, so many. But just in a nutshell, I guess, Bill Plotkin, author of Nature and the Human Soul, that's an incredible book. I kind of refer to that as my life Bible because he breaks up the personal growth. It's kind of like a hybrid between personal growth and spirituality, and it's broken up into the wheel of life. So it's very much like from birth to death, these are the experiences that human beings go through as far as personal growth and spirituality. And you can become arrested in certain areas and just stop growing. But each area has its own kind of soul work and nature work. So like very cultural and spiritual. And it continues to be an incredible resource for me. And then, yeah, just practices. That's what it comes down to for me, like actual embodiment. It's a huge, huge part of it. Discovering how, you know, your beliefs through the embodied raw experience of what that is. And so yoga, Reiki, ecstatic dance, botany, just being in nature, experiencing and cultivating a relationship with the natural world, I think is super important for us, especially in this modern age when that doesn't necessarily come naturally anymore.
It's true. Gardening has come up multiple times throughout the spiritual podcast that I've done.
It's an incredible practice on so many levels. You know, it connects you to your own experience of soul work.
Mm-hmm.
It connects you with the planet and just the energy of nature, which is so pure and so healing. But then, like, the physiological benefits of gardening are incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, you're actually absorbing nutrients and all of that amazing life energy through your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really beautiful practice.
I've been hearing about garden therapy lately. Apparently, a real psychotherapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very interesting concept. It does.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And we're at a deficit for it in our culture right now. So
we need it more than ever, for sure.
Yeah.
But I like what you said about engaging in practice, because I feel like when it comes to the spiritual category and spirituality in your life, a lot of people talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. You know what I mean? You got to do. I feel like belief is great, but the constant practicing, the way you are so dedicated to it, the way that it's not an option. That's part of your day. Like a lot of people treat exercise like that. Very, very fit people. It's not an option to not work out. You know what I mean? That's part of my day. And you right. do that with spirituality, which is really impressive, you know?
Thank you. Yeah.
So I think that's huge.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it is really important because spirituality, I mean, the essence of spirituality and soul really comes down to individuality. Mm-hmm. It's such a personal experience. And we hear that over and over again. But to really, really grasp that concept on the deepest level possible, it is the ultimate personal experience, the understanding of the self. And we are all so unique, and yet we are all so similar. And so there are all of these amazing practices. There's no one right way. We have an array of amazing doorways that we can enter through. Mm-hmm. Whatever resonates with us, you know, that is feedback from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so to continually bring awareness to, you know, how certain practices or teachings or beliefs resonate with you. Mm-hmm. And that's really what spirituality is. And so you're right, to just be handed down in a belief may or may not be effective for people. You know, right. A lot of, like, my husband was raised Catholic. He spent a majority of his life not adhering to those values because he was, you know, agnostic really more than anything. Mm-hmm. And he still is agnostic, or maybe more... We find merit and value in all religions,
mm-hmm.
and we can find the common thread that weaves them mm-hmm. all together.
Absolutely.
And that is really what matters to us. But now more than ever, he resonates with the Catholic values that he was brought up with. So totally. It's just so interesting how you can come full circle like that. But it's a journey. Spirituality is a journey. It is not a destination. And so it's really important to explore that and to mm-hmm. find the practices and the teachings that resonate most deeply with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting thought historically, and if you think back throughout humankind, the one true God idea is a really new concept. That's how things were back in the day, is you'd pray for your God and your neighbor's God.
Hmm.
That's like that's literally beautiful. how it went. And these newer religions are the ones that, you know, the Judaic religions are the ones that say, my God is the only God. And that's a really interesting shift. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it can be really devastating, because ultimately what spirituality is, and definitely what it is for me, what I think it is for everybody, is a unification.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding a oneness with mm-hmm. everything. It's the underlying fabric that connects us with everything mm-hmm. in the universe.
Right.
And coming to know that on your own personal deep level is so important. And when you are operating from a belief that automatically and inherently separates you from
right.
others,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of contradicting the very essence of the work.
Right. And Christianity is an interesting example, because it's all about understanding. So although it has that kind of one true God feel, there's still a lot of understanding in it.
Right.
Which is very, very cool.
It is
and
cool.
Interesting, in my yeah. opinion. As you know, I'm a big fan of theology.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just really fascinating.
It is so fascinating.
I like that common thread, though. That's really great.
Yeah.
But one aspect that I really wanted to focus on during this interview is the connection between physical shape, health and fitness, your body, and spirituality. Specifically, I see that very strongly in you. For obvious reasons, your recent trip to Bali. I've actually made reference to your trip on the podcast multiple times, but could you briefly explain how that went and extrapolate on what that process was like?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I could talk about this forever, because this is ultimately the dimension of life that I'm moving into. And mm-hmm. as far as my work and everything, I truly believe that my soul work lies in kind of using the body as a doorway for soul embodiment, mm-hmm. you know? And so... But yeah, Bali was huge in that department for me. It was a big leap forward. I've known for a few years now that this is actually, to be honest, I've known for probably a decade. I've been talking about body consciousness and body awareness, but mm-hmm. it just continues to unravel and evolve and deepen and expand. So I took a big leap, knowing that I have a whole long list of practices that I want to explore and, you know, master, for lack of better words. Mm-hmm. And yoga has definitely always been one of them. It's just been a continually enlightening experience for me, and elevating and transcendent. And so when we decided, my husband and two kids decided that we were going to move to Bali for 6 months last fall, I thought, well, Bali is an amazing place for yoga. It's a haven for mm-hmm. yogis, and that would be an awesome place to really start to explore this. And we knew that we were going to be in one particularly populated area for the month of October, so that was kind of like the window of time for mm-hmm. me to figure it out. And it just so happened that the only course for the entire year at my favorite studio, because we had been to Bali before and we had attended this one super special eco village resort yoga studio, just amazing little tribal center called Desa Seni. And they just so happened to be running a yoga training for the month of October when we were going to be staying 5 minutes away.
Perfect.
And so it was totally just like, yeah, divinely stars are aligned. Handed to me.
Yeah.
And so I said, I have to do this. And we did, and I committed to it and was totally terrified because I had no idea what the month-long, you know, 6 days, 12-hour days.
Just to extrapolate on that briefly, almost every single day you were doing 12 hours of yoga every single day.
Well, there was lecture also, So it wasn't just all yoga, but a good significant chunk of it was, including meditation, pranayama, the actual asana practice, which is the physical practice. So it was very, very immersive. And then when we weren't doing that, we were in lecture learning about, you know, the underlying philosophy and the anatomy and all of that. So it was an incredibly enlightening experience, and it pushed me on so many levels, one of which was definitely physical. And what came through that as far as just an embodied spiritual experience was truly miraculous and incredible. And I experienced things that I've never experienced before in my life. But I'd say my biggest growth was actually in the community aspect. And just like I had mentioned, it's so important understanding the self when it comes to spirituality, what resonates with you personally. We are all so unique. There are things about us that are so different and yet so similar to everybody else. And using those as the gateways into understanding who you are and why you were put here and what it is that you're supposed to be doing on this planet in this short time that we have in this life is just so important. And so for me, a big part of that is being able to understand who I am and embody who I am, raw and true and authentic, around others. That's a big part of my work. I have always, you know, I haven't always been the most social creature. I have my super close group of girlfriends, and in high school I was super social. But as an adult, it's hard to find people that resonate with you at like a deep heart level. And so that was, I would say, my biggest growth of all throughout this training was discovering these deep, deep parts of who I was and allowing them to just flood out of me and flourish and like blossom in the midst of strangers, and to trust and to put myself kind of at their mercy and just know that no matter what, it was going to be okay. And it was like, they were just an incredible group of people who are now going to be lifelong friends. And so, yeah, it was a multifaceted, incredible experience. And I learned so much about that connection to the body and the spirit and how those two interplay together. And it's magical.
That's great. You sent me a picture after completing that training, and you were doing, I don't know the names of the poses, but you were doing an amazing pose and you just looked ripped. Awesome. So I want to post that on the post if we can make that happen, if you can find that picture. Because that was jaw-dropping.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I can't believe how it all advanced for me. It's just like something clicked. Once I think I was able to really, because I had spent so long exploring the spiritual side of yoga and just the felt sense of energetic awareness. And, you know, a little bit about the postures themselves through classes and stuff, but just the combination in the training between the learning about the anatomy, the proper optimal use of the human body and what that looks like and what it takes to get there, you know, because everybody is so different and no one is optimal. Everybody has injuries or genetic predispositions for things. But to have that for the first time as a vision in my mind, to know which muscles should be firing just completely took my practice to a whole new level. And the whole essence of yoga, which is that beautiful, trying to strike that beautiful balance between effort and ease, that took my practice to a whole new level for sure. Not over efforting.
Yeah, that's huge stuff. Well, let's shift here from physical health and fitness to a category that I find relates to spirituality in a very strange way, and that's parenting. And I've brought up on this podcast before, I think you are the best parent that I know.
I think
you parent your kids with Pat better than anyone I know. And it shows in the product of your children, the way they behave, how they interact with you and Pat. I do think you're the best parent that I know.
Thank you. That means so much.
And I would like you to kind of extrapolate on where spirituality plays into your parenting, because it's a strange combination, but they are oddly connected.
Yeah. I mean, again, you have to kind of, depending on who you are and what your beliefs are, for me, it's not so much a matter of like religion. And therefore, if you're, you know, breaking it out into spirituality and, you know, the felt sense of who you are and what you are supposed to do here, your purpose to be on this planet and your,
destiny.
But also like the way that you choose to interact with the people around you, like how you choose to live your life, because it's not just a matter of getting to that destination point, you know. It is a matter of the experience and like what you bring to the table every day. And so when it comes to parenting our kids with spirituality, I think a huge value of ours that plays into that is mindfulness. That is huge for us. And that's kind of the essence, when you boil it all down for me as an individual in terms of what spirituality means to me and how it becomes like practically applied to life, it is awareness. Because spirituality is very much just an evolution. It's an evolution of the self. It's an understanding of what feels right, intuitively right, and following those paths. And the only way that you can even begin to understand or hear that information from yourself is to be aware and to develop and evolve yourself continually throughout life and follow the right paths that you're being presented with. So awareness is a huge part of spirituality, and the practices of spirituality all aim at deepening and expanding and heightening awareness, elevating awareness. So
that applies to your children. You're very aware the way you parent, very aware of everything you say, every action you take, and the actions that your kids are presenting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly try to be. And it's really important to us to teach our children mindfulness as well and mindfulness practices. So explaining to them consequences early. I mean, we started doing that before they could even understand. And I remember, you know, some of our family would look at us like, you're explaining things way too early. They don't understand. And it's like, well, that's up to them. They can understand when they understand. But like, this is what we choose to do. It's important to us that they understand all of the reasons that we tell them things. I'm not just going to blindly tell them no. And when they ask why not, I just say because. Like, I'm going to explain everything to them so that they have a better understanding. And that helps with their reactions, because they understand why things are the way they are. But mindfulness practices as well. And so, yeah, the consequences was one of them for sure. How you affect other people.
Yeah.
You know, if my son, who is a very rambunctious 4-year-old and loves to just, he's like a bull in a china shop, like all the time, all day, every day. And so really educating him as to how his energy can affect other people. And I love that he's crazy. You know, sometimes that's a blast, but other times it's like, if we're around certain people that are in a position to not be affected by that like barrage of energy, he needs to be able to read his environment and adjust himself accordingly. That's really important to us that our kids can do that. I think that's an amazing skill to have as a human being in a world full of human beings.
That's true.
And yeah, mindfulness practices. We teach our kids to meditate. It's part of homeschool. Breath work, how to breathe, which is something that human beings have forgotten how to do in our modern world. Like, they just don't know the simple anatomy of breathing. And that's just so sad. I just learned it for the first time in Bali. I'm a 30-year-old woman and I just learned how to breathe. And it's changing my life, because when you unlock that, you unlock your peace no matter where you go. Nothing can affect you if you have control over your breath. And so, yeah, that's a big one. Meditation, breath work, and just simple presence. Mm-hmm. Like silence is a huge one for us. We will just have silent meditations together where we won't necessarily close our eyes, wow. but we'll just have moments of silence, like an hour of no speaking.
That's great.
Together. Solitude, alone time. Mm-hmm. We foster that early on so that they understand that it's important to have space just with themselves and to not necessarily rely on other people's energy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As well as simple things like we call electricity sunsets, which I think we might have gotten from a life book member. I can't remember if we coined that or if somebody else said that. But basically that means that at sunset, all of the electronics go off as well.
Oh, that's
and
so great.
It's just candlelight and that's it. So really fostering a connection with self, a connection with the energetics around you, the environment around you, not relying on other people all the time, not relying on electronics all the time. It's so simple, and mm-hmm. yet simple is complicated in our world. And so it's not always easy, but it is so simple. Just going back to basics,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially with kids.
Yeah.
The simpler, the better with kids.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's really important to us. All mm-hmm. of those things.
We've done a great job with your children. I love Thank Maddie you. And Johnny more than the world.
They're super special humans.
With my little baby daughter just turning a month old, I try to emulate the way you parent more than anyone else.
Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm. I will say, because I see this in your daughter, Juliet, as well, there is an element, and some people may think I'm crazy, but I believe this deeply. I do believe that Pat and I are really good parents. I also believe that kids come through with certain dispositions and certain qualities. And what I refer to as just spirit, like the who they are before they're even here. I feel
right.
like kids choose the doorway that they come through, and they come to help us on our work. And you and I have both been blessed with truly incredible human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God all the time for my kids. Like mm-hmm. I can't believe what they've contributed to my life, how they've helped me evolve. To be honest, Maddie, she's 10 years old, almost 11. She was the dawn of my true consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Having Maddie was the dawn of my true consciousness.
I totally saw that.
And it had so much to do with body awareness, because I wasn't being aware. I wasn't taking care of myself after she was born, because I had no clue about that yet. And I had to learn everything kind of on my own for her. And that was the beginning of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that that's one of the reasons she came here. And I think the same thing about Juliet. I just see so much magic in her. She's mm-hmm. a magical little creature.
That's true.
She's so special. And mm-hmm. so we are very blessed as well. Like, I don't think that it's all us. I think our kids.
Oh, that's definitely true. Well, there's the nature and nurture side of it, which is so interesting, because the nurture is almost a math equation.
Mm-hmm.
What you apply to your child is going to have X consequence.
Right.
But the nature side is so mystical and spiritual. It's kind of like the spiritual world and the physical world in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't explain it away.
Right.
You can explain nurture away in a therapist's office after, you know, years of
right.
of trauma, whatever it is. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But nature is just something that is just, I don't know, unique and special, and you can't intellectualize it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a huge part of spirituality, I think, is nurturing your nature.
Oh, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, because, mm-hmm. again, it's just so individual, and to use those individual parts of yourself. And they're often things that we deny in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the parts of us that are denied and locked away, those are doorways too.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these pieces to our puzzle that are so unique to us are those gateways into our deeper work and our deeper selves. So yeah, nurturing your nature.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's mm-hmm. some powerful stuff right there. Well, obviously your Bali experience was a huge accomplishment, but I wanted to ask you, are there any other future goals specifically that you look forward to? Are you just continuing down the path, or do you see a rest stop coming up here that you're especially looking forward to?
No way. No rest stop. Full steam ahead. This is my life. Truly. Like, this is my passion. This mm-hmm. is my, and it's only gaining momentum. And I feel that I'm only being called to serve more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many things that I want to do. Oh my gosh. I have more yoga trainings. I want to do my 500 hour in India.
Whoa.
Yeah. Pat and I both want to take a sabbatical through Tibet and Nepal.
Whoa.
Because he's doing a lot of dream yoga work, which mm-hmm. is very Tibetan, like dream space and lucid dreaming. And there's just a whole world there.
Yeah, look that up, people. Trying to achieve lucid states in dreams and then practicing yoga and meditation while dreaming.
Exactly.
You can just...
That's an incredible thing right
just
there.
Just Google into that or pick up a book. It's really wild.
Dream yoga. Yeah, yeah, I will say really quick, just backtracking. I know we're running out of time.
No, but, it's all right. Please.
In Bali, with the practice of just yoga every single day, day in, day out, I began dreaming of the postures. That was my first experience of somewhat lucid dream space. Whoa. And in the dream, I was able to unlock certain poses that were difficult for me in real life and then return to them in the waking state and notice a tangible Whoa. Difference mm-hmm. in my abilities. It was crazy. So I would just be dreaming about holding a simple posture like cobra, and I'd be holding it in my dream. And then there would be a split second where I wanted to release, but for whatever reason, my dream self just held on for that 1 second longer. And Whoa. It was just like, boom, this explosion of energy came out of my chest, and it woke me up. It was crazy. And then when I went to practice and work on my cobra, it was as if my shoulders had rotated and my chest was able to open more. Whoa. Like I had actually affected through the dream state, my energetics, my subconscious was affecting my
conscious self. You gained experience, totally exactly. gained experience, leveled up in your sleep.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the dream yoga is all Whoa. About. So it's very cool.
That's wild.
So yeah, more yoga for sure. Sabbatical with my husband. I want to do shamanic work. There's shamanic practitioner workshops that I'm super interested in because a lot of that weaves into the physical too and the embodied experience of working with energy and deeper soul work and life path work. Reiki. I'm actually currently in training for my mastery, which I'm super happy and excited about. That's just a continually deepening, amazing part of my life. I could go on forever. Ecstatic dance. I have so many. Botany, permaculture. That's a huge one.
You're staying the course.
Yes. It's official.
That's great. Yeah. I love it. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yeah, it's going to be a great spiritual month between all the interviews we have, guys. All you VIP listeners, very, very proud to bring you these kinds of interviews for the VIP members of Lifebook. Of course, you can take the Introspect assessment. I'll always be doing that every month, every quarter, all that good stuff. And you might land yourself a spot on the VIP podcast. So please stay tuned for that. Please stay tuned for more interviews with my father, John Butcher. You can actually send in your questions if you want to get some specific help to really boost your 2017 here. One more time, Jesse, thank you for coming in the studio.
Thanks so much, Jordan.
All right, everybody out there, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time on the Lifebook Podcast.